lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for episode number 156, broadcasting you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto, Canada. We're also streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters or established professionals, we don't mind anybody. Together, we share tips, techniques, and we share cool things found. And hopefully, we all join together and become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight, as always, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, we have the birthday boy, Mr. Phil Emery.
That's
happy
me.
Happy birthday,
Phil.
Join in.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Phil. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Are you one? Are you two? Are you, okay.
No.
We're not going to go that far, are we?
It's not polite to ask a radio host their age. That's why we're on radio. They can't see us.
I'm 32. It's like a Trump fact.
Oh, you're... Yes.
It's an alternative fact that you're 32?
So Phil's alternative fact is that he's 32. Okay. The other fact, well... And we also have Mr. Neil Modi, who's sitting in for Eitan on the board tonight.
Yes, greetings, everybody.
Yeah. And putting us out there throughout the entire hour in the world of social media. She's doing it right now, Vanessa Vreeland.
Yay, Vanessa.
She's Facebook Living as we speak.
Yeah, she's Facebook Live. Oh, so people will know how old Phil looks. Okay. During the show, send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, and we'll share them with our listeners in real time. And please stop by our website, because it's fun. There's songtalkca.ca. You can find out even how to be a guest on the show. Just a side note here, we're booking for June right now. So there'll be a bit of a pause there until you get in. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can apply. Ashley Braga is here tonight. She's a Toronto-based singer-songwriter. She knew music was her passion when she received a keyboard at the age of 6, and she remembers gliding her fingers over the keys, and something inside of her shifted. Maybe it was her ribcage. And soon she began to experiment and create music by ear. That must have been painful. No, you weren't doing it by ear. But you could just grab a tune out of the air. Oh, that's fantastic. Ashley Braga's passion is to write music for others based on their journey while combining her own experiences of love and loss. This connects her to her vulnerability and expands her understanding of humanity. Customizing songs for others has been a gift and an honor as it brings stories to life. Ashley strives for connection and to understand the world. Maybe she can explain American politics to me later. All right, please welcome Ashley Braga.
Hello.
Hey, thank you. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for coming here tonight. You've come all the way from Mississauga.
I have.
That's in the West, right?
Yes.
The near West, not the far West.
I want to hear about this, you writing songs for other people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Writing songs. Who's that? Who do you write for?
So I started this idea about a couple of years ago. I was at a friend's house, and we were just kind of chatting, and I hadn't seen her in a really long time, and she asked me what I was up to, and I was just kind of going through my phone, and we went through a couple of songs I had written that year. She just kind of had an idea of perhaps writing custom songs for other people, and that idea just kind of came up, and I just started a business doing that. So,
oh, do you mean you write a song to record and give to someone as gift for that person? You're
that's
not co-writing or writing for other artists?
No, I'm not.
So it's a whole package. They ask you to write the song.
Yep.
Like, we could get you to write a custom birthday song for Phil.
That's right.
Record
that's
it, and then you'd send it to us.
I send it to you.
Oh, that is a really clever idea.
That's amazing. That's a great idea.
Yeah, Sheila would have known I would have wrote your birthday song.
If I had known, I would have written you a birthday song.
Yeah. But typically, actually, you're doing, like, weddings, engagements, that type of thing?
Yeah, it could be anything from from weddings to engagements for sure. I've done anniversary songs, songs for showers.
Divorces?
Sometimes. Okay. Breakup songs. Break-up you just song? Never know. Yeah. Funerals, sure. Yeah. Anything under the sun, I'm kind of able to kind of just get down to it and try to create something that the client might like. Really.
Do you record it just with your voice and guitar, or do you get into a studio? And
I have a home studio. I try to keep it as acoustic as possible. It's usually my guitar and myself, but sometimes I'll add, you know, strings. I do have, I work with my computer, and I just kind of add different elements to it, but really I try to keep it clean. It always depends on what the client wants. You know, a little drum here and there, but nothing too big.
Wow. Do you have a website where you sort of offer this?
Yeah. It's www.ashleybraga.com.
Oh, okay. And that's for the service.
The things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everything's right.
Including your career. So it's ASHLEYBRAGA.
That's right.
1G, ashleybraga.com. So check that out. What a clever idea.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because you were, you said you were a keyboard player first.
At first, I played piano for mostly all my life. I started when I was about 6. That kind of kicked off, and I just started writing melodies on my own. My first cover song, actually, was the Beatles' Let It Be. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of heard it. My mom put the record player on, and she just kind of played it. And I thought, this is a really beautiful song. Even at that age, I was just, like, moved by that song in particular. Mm-hmm. And I just picked up on the melody. I played it on the piano, and I just learned it. And I just sang it. And then that was the first time I was like, wow, like, this instrument's really powerful. And I just kind of went with that.
Came up with the chords without reading any
Without reading anything. Score. And at that time, there was no Google.
So. That's right.
So, yeah, it was just by ear.
That's a gift.
Yeah, it truly is, and I'm truly blessed to have that gift for sure.
Did you, go to the Royal Conservatory for the piano?
Tried going to the Royal. It didn't really fit my personality at the time. Like, as a child, we just walked in, and it didn't really fit me. So I tried the Ontario Conservatory of Music. For a little while there. But, theory and reading notes just kind of wasn't for me at the time. I didn't feel like it was connecting me to music per se. It was nice to know theory in general, but
what age were you trying that out?
I tried that at 7 until I was about 14. So it was a long period of time.
It's a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does the Ontario Conservatory do that's different?
I think it's a little bit more broad. Like, I felt like the Royal was very strict on classical music, which I appreciated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ontario just kind of expanded their genres, and I loved the idea of learning.
When did you write
pop songs?
Like, when did you write your first, like, you were doing covers? Do you remember when you wrote your first original song?
7.
Seven.
Wow.
7. Okay. And now it was an instrumental song. It was strictly piano, but it's actually quite a nice story. I was just, my cousin Ashley was over, and she had recently, her father had passed away. And I was just kind of fiddling with the piano, and I came up with this melody. And I had her dad in mind, but I didn't really say anything to anybody. So I was playing it, and then she just ran upstairs, and she started to cry. And I'm like, well, what did I do? I was kind of confused. But apparently my mom told me what she said was that it reminded of her father. And I thought that was really special. And I think that moment, I was like, wow, you know, just that moment in itself, it was kind of verification for me, like, this, like, music can move people, and
at 7.
It speaks volumes. Yeah.
So you're moving into your releasing albums at 8 then. Now, when did you start writing the words then?
Words came a little bit later. I found it a little bit more sophisticated to do both. Yeah. You know, words and
so
piano.
9. No, how old are you when you started the lyrics? High school?
The lyrics started coming more when I picked up the guitar.
When was that?
21.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so you're mostly instrumental for a long time.
Exactly.
Were you accompanying singers at all?
No. It was me, myself,
and I. You're doing covers then, mostly.
When I was 21, I started off with covers, but I moved on to just writing my own.
No, but I mean, all through high school, you had a time with the piano.
Yeah.
And you weren't writing lyrics.
Nope.
And so you were just playing other people's songs, I guess.
Yeah. And composing my own. And I think a lot of it was writing. I was writing a lot. I was writing a lot of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, during high school, other things take over. And I lost music for a little while there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But piano was always, you know, in my sights, and I always fiddled with it. But, you know, life happens, I guess. Mm. And then when guitar came, it just kind of, like, inspired me to write again. So
that's great.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, I think also talking about, you know, how the Royal Conservatory didn't mesh with you, different teachers have different teaching style.
Exactly.
So if you actually have, like, a bad experience with one teacher, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't necessarily take lessons. You don't have to, like, I'm self-taught myself, but that you just might need to find a different kind of teacher who has a different teaching style.
Yeah.
For
some
sure.
people are very classical and they're very specific and they want you to do just Bach and Mozart and, yeah. and there's other people who start off, you know, playing popular songs and mm-hmm. get you, you know, when I have taught guitar, I've taught people how to play chords first because mm-hmm. I think, you know, you should be able to play three chords and impress someone. That's really what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, Ashley, so you had so many years just doing instrumental music. So when you picked up the guitar and started writing songs with lyrics, then what sort of came first when you're writing songs, even to this day? Is it lyrics first, music first, or is it kind of come at the same time, or both?
Usually what comes is the idea.
Yeah.
I usually get inspiration from other stories from other people. That's the first thing. Like, my first song, I think, on guitar was a reflection of someone's story, and not to get into it or whatever, but it just kind of inspired me to write. And I think the melody came first. I was just kind of fiddling with the chords that I had just learned, and it was so exciting. I was like, ooh, C!
Yeah.
So it was very simple, but I think the melody made it a little bit more complex, and it just kind of came to me. But yeah, I think I kind of took that as the years went by. It was always the melody first that inspired me for the lyrics, and I tried to fit the lyrics into the melody, which sometimes can be restricting, so along the way, the melody might change a little bit, but...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Usually it's the melody that
Speaking of songs, would you play something for us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Believe.
I believe you will.
I'll start with Believe.
Well, that's great.
Neil, should I back up when I play the harmonica?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because we didn't test that.
Oh, great.
It's pretty loud.
Oh, great.
Oh,
yes.
That's right. We should
yeah.
read it.
I love that sound.
Let's
yeah.
show you a little bit of
this. So you can't see here in the studio, but she's got the harmonica with the neck brace like yes. the...
And while you're
Bob,
setting up,
Bob Dylan.
Michael Anderson has just sent us a message. Great to see Ashley getting some airtime. She has a beautiful Michael. Voice and a genuine style.
Thanks,
Thank
Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Aww.
Aww.
Nice.
So this is, we're now going to hear Believe, written and performed by Ashley Braga.
Take notice.
But take a breath, don't get too upset, for today is but one moment. Oh, raise your hands and praise this day, and you will be okay. Take my hand and come this way, and you will be okay. Don't lose sight of hope. It will be
beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a great tune.
Great phrasing. The phrasing is so unusual.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen next. It's great. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Thank you.
It's got little pauses over. Phil, go ahead. Birthday boy.
What a wonderfully constructed song. I mean, really carefully thought out. Don't forget, you can get the lyrics to this song at songtalk.ca. It's on the front page. And if you're listening to it on the podcast, it'll actually be on the show notes as well. It's just perfectly written. There's not a sloppy line.
Nothing wasted.
It's interesting. You have a verse, you call it verse one and verse two, but verse two is really kind of
like a
pre-chorus, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think maybe we're going to do a theme song or a theme show on pre-choruses, and I think this is one we could use.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But what a fan, like, just a brilliant chorus. The rhymes are so tight, but not forced. And a great, you call it the hook, but it's really a bridge.
It's a bridge. Yeah.
And then you have this wonderful variation on the last two lines of your bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, instead of repeating the whole chorus, you actually just repeat the last half of the chorus. Mm-hmm. I mean, just...
It's tasty.
It is beautifully, beautifully constructed.
Yeah, well-paced, right?
This is a song, it's really worth going through and going through the lyrics and just watching all these little bits of detail, because it's not like, this isn't sloppy, this isn't... Mm. You know, this feels like a song that you probably put some work into.
I did.
Yeah, so this isn't... Some people say, oh, I just sit, you know, and it's a God song. This is a song which has been crafted, which is wonderful.
Thank you.
I like where you place the harmonica, too, because those were just perfect little tasty bits where we take a break from the voice and bring in a bit of the melody in the harmonica and a bit of character, a little bit of texture, a different texture. It was lovely.
Thank you.
You have such an uplifting voice. It's very sweet, and you kind of, it just feels, you feel lighter listening to it. You feel happier listening to it. You know? And really interesting, Phil, on your theory that the title should be in the chorus. The title is right off at the end of the very first line of the song.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you believe for a moment? Can you believe? Can you believe?
I love that, the do you and the can you.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's really tasty.
Nice. For a second.
But speaking of the title, I would be tempted to call it You Will Be Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true.
I think I
off
wanted
the chorus, you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I wanted the title to reflect what I was trying to say to the person I wrote it for.
And I
wrote it for a good friend of mine, so I just, you know, I wanted it to say, like, believe in life and how the chorus takes place and just kind of
I think when you look through the lyrics and you really I think you will be okay. Kind of it, that is kind of the message of the song too. Isn't
for sure.
Yeah, but believe's a better title. Yeah, it's more memorable. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, of course, you know, when it comes to titles, it's going to be what the people are going to say it is. So.
Yeah.
and that's the other thing, because the you will be okay is the end of the chorus. It's very hooky. I mean, the whole thing's very hooky, but that as a conclusion to the chorus,
yeah,
I think is what people might gravitate towards. when they try and search this song on iTunes.
Yeah, it is just so wonderfully crafted. I mean, like in the wonderful rhymes, you know, like in the second verse, which is sort of like your pre-chorus, you know, you can't see where you're going, but then you have rhymed with that you've been growing. You know, it's not a super tight rhyme, but it's
a little bit softer.
Yeah, which is nice in the pre-chorus, because I think if because you have fairly tight rhymes in the first verse, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's
well, the whole song is very it's very gentle, you know. Like there's soft edges everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Like the rhymes aren't super tight; they're not perfect rhymes all over the place. There's the gentleness in the way you sing it, the way that you play the guitar. There's everything about it is just extraordinarily soft.
And this person was obviously going through a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did they come out of it okay with eventually?
Yes, absolutely okay.
With the help of a good song.
Exactly.
So you actually write songs, even when you're not writing custom songs, you're writing songs from your heart about someone that you care about. So it's the same kind of connection, right?
Yeah, when words, like, just sometimes there's not enough words, right? So as long as, if you can get words with a melody, it just speaks louder than anything you could ever say, right? So I think that was my thought when I wrote it, was this is my gift that I could offer to you as a friend. Hmm. And, you know, it was the best I could do at the time.
When you were writing this, I mean, do you remember, like, what work was, because I mean obviously it's very polished, I mean mm-hmm. like there was obviously a lot of editing and tweaking.
To be honest, there wasn't a lot of that. I think because I was coming from a very genuine place, it just kind of came to me, to be honest. I love this person very much, so it just kind of came to me and the melody just kind of flowed. It just made its way, and sometimes that happens a lot with me, I feel, when I'm writing, especially when I'm writing about someone I care about. And it's kind of been like that my whole life. A lot of people can just say it's a gift, but, you know, when a song takes too long for me, that's when I know it's just not right, and I have to start over.
Okay.
You know? So this just came, and it flowed, and I knew it just felt right to me.
Well, like when you were 7.
Exactly, right? I want that feeling reoccurring over and over again when I write. I want it to be as meaningful and as profound as that time when I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so. The other thing about this song is that it is very positive, mm-hmm. right? The lyrically, it is very positive. You've got the second half of your second pre-chorus, you may feel that the world is on your shoulders, finding obstacles are in your way.
Mm-hmm.
If I may offer a bit of feedback, I would actually be tempted to almost start the song with, because that's about as dark as you get. That's about mm-hmm. as negative as you get, which is not terribly negative, but to start in a place where, you know, like you're saying, like this person was going through some hard times. So let's get that, you know, off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how life is a little bit difficult. And then by the time you hit your first pre-chorus, you're already going into the positive, and the rest of the song is very focused that way. But to
set up the theme, set up
the difficulty before you get to the resolution.
Yeah, no, I like that.
That's an interesting
for sure.
It's a good point, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bruce. I have my moments.
Often.
Now, what was the chords in the verse and the chords in the chorus, are they the same?
The chorus is an F, a C, and a G, and the verses are a C and a G. So
it's close, because the pre really takes a bit of a lift, and then which was actually quite nice, because as far as making changes, at least you're going to the pre-chorus and a different kind of harmonic structure, and then coming back to something not quite the same, but pretty similar.
Yeah, there's a melody lift in the pre-chorus as well.
Yes, absolutely.
What's nice is
you know your actual verses. Are very short,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of, but it doesn't feel like a short song,
right?
Because you've actually got a lot of variation. I mean, you have a lot of pieces for into
yeah. There's a lot of
song.
Parts going on here.
But you know, I think sometimes when people are writing songs, we think we have all these words to fill up, and it's, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a long verse,
right?
What's your approach, Ashley, to the bridge? Was the bridge something that came relatively easy in this song?
Yes, I wanted to add. I wanted to close it with hope and light near the end there. And so the melody itself just came, but I do remember struggling with the bridge. I think I wanted to say something about hope, but I didn't really want to repeat a lot of what I had already said. So mm-hmm. I think I really thought about the ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, because in a lot of ways, like the final two lines of the bridge are really compelling, and you will be all right. You can win this fight.
Right.
Like that's an extraordinarily powerful. I'd almost be tempted to suggest end the song right there.
Right.
You know, because we've already heard the chorus twice.
Right.
Up until then, and it's like, you know, to end on that very specific message would be kind of compelling. I don't know.
Did you bring in some new chords in your bridge? Did you introduce any new chords there?
No.
See, that's something you can do. Let's talk about that just for a minute for our listeners. So we've talked a lot about bridges before, and one thing that a bridge can serve is it can serve to step outside the song and reflect from a different point of view. It can do that in terms of point of view. It can do that lyrically then. So it could wax more general then. So it's the specific song about you and you. It could be something like, we all lose sight of hope, and sometimes we can't find the light. But look for the path that's paved, and you'll be all right. You know, so it kind of takes it up somewhere else. And a cool thing to do in the bridge is to introduce some chords they've never heard before, obviously in the same key, unless you're going to do a key change.
You can do a very simple minor-major chord substitution right there.
Like, instead like what? Of, like, a minor?
Well,
minor?
If everything else starts on the F, then start the bridge on the D minor.
Right.
And the rest of the other chords can still go back to your original thing, but as long as the section starts with a different chord we haven't heard before, then that alerts the listener. Oh, this is a different section. There's something special here.
Although it certainly seemed like, I mean, it certainly felt like a core, like a bridge to me.
It felt different. But we're just kind of playing with how different could you make it?
Could it be?
And you might want
to. And would it feel that way in lieu of not having the lyrics in front of you that said this is a different section?
It's a good question. I think so, because, you know, I always listen to this stuff while I'm walking around.
So
is this enough?
It is, yeah.
It is enough, right. Do you find you stick with one. Around one key, or do you?
Usually do, yes.
Yeah.
I usually do. I haven't ventured out into changing keys.
What I was suggesting was isn't even a key change. It's just because you have a number of chords within the key that you can go to.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So you always write an F?
No. I just mean like...
You don't change the key within the song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's modulation, right? Yeah. So it's useful sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I wouldn't even suggest that for a song like this because of the gentle, soft nature. Mm-hmm. If you go too wacky, then it starts... Yeah, it would hurt it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like just a perfect little tune.
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
Thank you.
But the thing is, for our listeners at home and wherever you are as you listen to this, experiment with different sections in your song as you're creating it and as you're rewriting it, and try some different chords and just play it back, like record it and listen to it and see if it gets if it gives a shift. Because I know that people love hearing changes.
Yeah.
And speaking of changes, Phil.
For those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. And tonight, our guest is Ashley Brea. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we will share your thoughts with real time, and you can be famous just like us. And don't forget, you can always find the links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And, you know, if you are listening to us, Song Talk Radio, in the coming weeks, we have on January 31st, Lewis Moon. February 7th, David St. Bernard. He's been on our show before, right?
Hasn't he? No,
it's the first time.
Hasn't he?
We talked about it 2 years ago, and now he's finally getting here.
Okay, that's what it was.
He's taking his time.
He's a regular at our songwriters meetup.
He's done some singing for us as well.
Yes.
And February 14th, which is the Day of Love, it'll be a special show. Love songs we love to love. Love it.
Love to love you, baby.
Love songs of love.
We love to love.
Loving love songs.
Well, we're all, the three hosts are going to bring in some songs that they consider love songs, and it's going to be really interesting because we all have very different tastes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
And don't forget, if you are in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Roundtable Meetup on Wednesday, February 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those juicy tales. Back to you, Brucey.
Thank you, Philly.
And actually, on the if you go to the meetup page, we actually have all the events for those meetups booked for the rest of the year.
Yes.
So you can look forward. If you can't make the next one, make the one after that.
Yep.
The one after
plan
that.
Plan ahead.
Yeah. Yep.
Plan
it's ahead. It's on Sunday 1 month. It's on midweek the other month. So, yep. You know, you can always meet
everybody.
Up. And it's one of the best
places.
Yeah.
We had one
best
just on,
I've come across.
We just had one on 2 days ago on Sunday. And we had, about 25 people there, 30 people, something like that.
It was a little bit more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people and a lot of real talent, very different talent. We had an R&B singer. Oh. We had a guy with a recording. Rogério did this, the Portuguese man.
Yeah. Oh,
it was
yeah.
a really unusual, very cool thing. I'd never heard anything like it before. So it's always fun, you're discovering new things. So
but, I'm hoping we get some hip-hop in one of the days.
That'd be nice.
One of these days.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Any letters from any fans out there, Phil, or should we...
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet, okay.
Nothing lately.
So I have a question for Ashley Braga. Sure. Ashley Braga's here in our studio and singing her songs. Have you ever collaborated in your songwriting with anyone?
Sadly, no.
Sadly? Oh, so it's something you'd like to do.
This is something you want
to
do.
I would love to.
All right, everybody, hear that.
Yeah,
AshleyBraga.com.
I definitely would love to. I don't know how that would feel, just because I'm not used to collaborating with anyone, but I'm interested in feeling like what it would be like to collaborate with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who has the same style either. I just kind of want that feeling, you know?
What I often find with collaborations, I mean, sometimes they click and sometimes they don't, right?
It's like
dating. Phil always says it's like dating. you have to have that chemistry, right? But one of the strategies you can't employ is that, you want to try and collaborate with someone who has different strengths than you. Like, I'm not a very strong singer, so I tend to collaborate with people that can sing and can write catchy melodies because I'm good at laying down a good, you know, chord progression or a good bass line groove thing.
Right.
And so you want to work with someone who has different strengths than you.
Right. That's where magic happens.
Yeah. And we actually did a show all in collaboration.
Yeah, with Patrick.
With Patrick. So yeah, I will we'll send that out to the Twitter stream so you guys can listen to that. It's a great show to actually listen to about all the do's and don'ts because Patrick has co-written with lots of people for Big Sugar and some big people.
So Patrick Ballantyne, you're talking about.
Patrick Ballantyne, yes.
Yeah. And so what you said that your songwriting generally comes from an idea. Is it an idea and a feeling or a feeling and then it becomes an idea? Or how would you define what comes up for you?
Each time it's different, of course. But I think in order for an idea for me to progress into a song, I need to have some sort of feeling about it. So it all depends. Mm-hmm. But anything and everything I do, I feel a lot of emotion and feeling.
Yeah.
That's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't have that, I can't really begin a song. And I can't really finish it, actually, because I'm always creating and I have tons of songs that I haven't finished. I have a whole entire box full of songs that are halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to a songwriter once who I was asking them, like, we're just talking about generating ideas. And she said, well, I have this feeling about, you know, like Big Brother's watching, like the security surveillance that the government's doing and all that sort of stuff. And I said, well, that's an interesting idea. But if you're just saying that, then you're kind of like you're a reporter, you're a journalist. If you're a songwriter, you got to inject your own emotional response to that. Like, do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? Do you think, what is it, creepy? Like, what is it?
So you need enough emotion to sustain you through writing the whole song and caring about it, I guess.
Yeah,
in a sense.
I definitely have to care about it.
Yeah. So how do you do that with your custom writing? Because you may not have
difficult.
That connection, right?
I think when I meet up with clients, it's a lot better because at first I hand out a questionnaire that they fill out. It's very standard, like, who is this for? How do you feel about this person? And I can get a lot out of that, but when I meet up with them, it's not even the words they say when I ask the questions. It's what they look like, how they explain. It could just be like this little tear in their eye when they're explaining their wife.
Have you gotten requests for this kind of service online? Where you're just sort of corresponding via email or...
Strictly that, you mean?
Yeah, strictly that. You always insist you have to be able to meet the client.
I prefer it, yes.
Prefer it.
I insist only because I'm doing an injustice otherwise. I feel like I'm just writing like... For anybody, it can be a generic song about anybody, but that's not the point of the song.
Yes.
The point of the song is to really kind of honor the person's story, right? So
now you work with children every day.
I do.
Do you write children's songs?
You know what? I began when I first played guitar. That's kind of the the first thing I was doing was writing for children, and I had written three pretty good songs, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did the kids like them?
They did. They certainly did.
Sing along, I guess.
Yeah, and it's different, right? It's a completely different feeling. And with that, it doesn't, you know, there's emotion there, but it's just a completely different way of writing. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get back into it, but... Mm-hmm.
We had that guest way back when, Helene, it was a French-Canadian singer-songwriter that wrote strictly just children's songs, all she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really quite cool.
Yeah, it can be super fun.
Yeah.
And you can test it out at any point, right? And children are so, they take anything and they make it beautiful. So I can have the silliest song or not a very good song, but, you know, they receive it and you can tell.
Let's hear another song from you.
Yeah.
You brought a song called "The Other Side."
Yes.
You want to tell the listeners what?
Yes.
Kind of how this song came to you?
So this song came to me at a time where actually I wasn't very happy with where I was in my life, and at the time I was renting out a basement apartment, and I had this little tiny studio. And I just kind of sat there and I thought, you know, today was a pretty, like, not a very good day. Mm-hmm. Let's just say
sloppy.
That. And I thought, okay, so I just started writing and I wanted to kind of paint a picture of an average day for anyone, really. Just kind of waking up and going through the motions, going to a job that, you know, you like, but you don't love. It's not your passion. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has a Groundhog Day feeling. That's kind of how it came up, like a mundane kind of day, and wanting to know what the other side feels like. The other side could be anything. It could be what happens if I pursue my passion, like maybe
something different,
something new, something you don't have.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
Let's do it.
Excellent. So this is Ashley Braga. She's going to be performing her own song with Capo on the 4th fret.
Mm-hmm.
That was important to know. And for me, anyway.
Are you scoring at home?
Yes. Yeah. And it's called "The Other Side."
Here we go. It's 6 a.m. and I'm asleep. Reality. My mind's at peace till I'm awake, and the day will start as it does every day. Shuffle my way across the room, turn on the radio, pick a perfect tune. Oh, get me out of here.
Another finely crafted song from Ashley Braga.
Yes,
the Other Side. The Other Side. How lovely. I love your lyrics. They're so cool. You know, that little, it's like that Day in the Life, Beatles, you know, Day in the Life.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbed a comb.
There you go.
Yeah. Woke up, dragged a comb across my head.
Yeah. I love the line, the sun is out, but I'm standing in the shade. What a great line.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is so nice. And the bus that always drives right
by. Yeah, yeah.
We can all relate to that.
Back in the day, I used to ride the bus.
Yeah.
So is this really an object lesson in the dangers of renting a basement apartment?
Basement apartments are bad, aren't they?
Yeah, they're challenging.
Well, yeah.
They're challenging.
Yeah. My wife actually always says if you're living underground, your life is never going to move forward.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's some feng shui around that.
It's kind of a feng shui thing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about the energetic side of it, I mean, well, what about all the people in all the hobbits? They did fine, aren't they? Are they on the hillsides?
They were inside of hills. They weren't necessarily underground. They were under hill. They were named Underhill.
Oh, maybe we could read up on that.
And fictional, which is, that really does
Well, that's not a fact. That's not
that's
a fact.
An alternative fact.
It's an alternative fact, though.
Yes, they're real now. Why not?
Back to the song. I'm usually anti, not like Uncle Anti. I'm against cliche. And you've got the grass is greener on the other side, and it fits beautifully.
Oh,
because I love the part in the chorus where you go, another day, another headache. Where's my coffee placement? And then the melody completely shifts. Time is ticking, and I can't think.
That is so catchy.
It grabs you because you make a little turn in the chorus, the melody turns. It turns melodically, which is, again, people love the change, right?
So
when that change happens, like, oh, I want to hear that change again, right? And I like where I love your phrasing. I'll give you an example of your phrasing, because I don't think this side feels right.
Yeah.
You keep us waiting there. It's so brilliant. Because those little, call them tacit, if you're writing classical music or you're writing sheet music, it's tacit. It just means, for those listeners at home, they're expecting you to sing a note and you leave a silence, which in jazz, there's a lot of silence in jazz, right? They say about jazz, it's not what you play, it's what you don't play.
Right.
So it's those, you're expecting a note and you don't get it. Whether it's syncopated or whether it comes way after. I just love that. I like your partial rhymes. Oh, this is my favorite line of the whole song. Okay, I'm a fan of your lyrics now. A smile stapled on my face.
Yeah, that's
what
great.
A great line at an office. You're working in an office, and you take an office tool, piece of
equipment,
and you've had to staple the smile on your face. And I've been in those offices. I didn't work in them, but I visited them, and it's like, oh, man. Sometimes it's like the night of the living dead there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Everybody's kind of just not right.
I love the line, the way you did, but if the other side isn't what I fantasized, I thought that was just such a... That's almost like, you know, the Wizard of Oz, you know, had that kind of rhythm to it. Really, really tasty.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a bridge, which you call a hook here, but
yeah.
Get me out of here, I want to run without fear. But if the other side isn't what I fantasize, I'm stuck here.
Which is a perfect bridge.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a turn lyrically.
It's a bit of a turn lyrically. Yeah, yeah. It kind of goes to this slightly different place, related, of course, but slightly different point of view, and then kicks you right back.
She's a craftswoman of song.
We got a couple of tweets in. One from Sharon. Ashley isn't the only one with UFOs, unfinished objects. Just part of the creative process. And happy birthday, Phil. Thank you. And we got one from Maggie D. Ashley, a great talent. Love her voice.
Thank you.
Oh, do you know Maggie D?
I do.
Oh, okay.
You know Maggie D? You got the fans out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally blown by the melody in the chorus. Like, when you say you go to melody first, you can tell you go to melody first. But the great thing about, like, I know, Phil, you do this. You write melody first, and then you have trouble getting the lyrics into it. So do you ever encounter that, Ashley? Do you... Because what ends up happening, I find this too, when I write a melody first, and then I try and put lyrics onto it, syllables end up on the wrong places sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that ever happen to you, or just things...
Absolutely.
Yeah? So then you have to jig the melody a little bit, and you're back and forth, and...
Yeah, it's a back and forth thing for sure.
Yeah.
When I'm creating a melody, I'm singing nonsense words.
Yes.
So
that
always happens every time. But
the nonsense words ever inspire the real lyrics?
Yes, and sometimes it does. I'm ooh, I kind of like that word there.
Or you could leave the nonsense words and call it a children's song.
No, it's true.
Yeah. I definitely could.
Yeah.
So when you're doing the, I guess because you're writing with kind of like a subject in mind at this point, right? So you, so when you're doing not like, because when I do nonsense lyrics, I actually don't have any subject for the song.
Yes,
even no impetus for the melody, even no mood.
No, I have melody.
No, but you have but a the melody. What's the impetus for the melody? Just out of air?
It's just yeah, it's just an energy that kind of
okay.
Goes
well,
off
Ashley's
my head
different there. You seem to have a feeling that pushes you into the melody.
For sure,
the
this came with
after.
A feeling first. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just wasn't feeling very good that day. But I also wanted a melody that made me feel better. So
right, it's a downer song that's done in an upbeat style, thing. Right?
Yes. Yeah, well, your stuff is very positive. Positive. You ever do anything gloomy?
Definitely. I have a lot of gloomy songs. And when I share them, yeah, exactly. When I share them, people always say, you got to write happier songs. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes the gloomy songs just come easier because it's easier to write.
It's nice to have a mix of both. I mean, yeah.
Well, it's human to have both, right?
Yes, exactly.
Darkness and the light.
And that's one thing I appreciate about this song that maybe I didn't so much about Believe is that Believe was 100% positive from beginning to end. This one's actually kind of balanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of that negativity into it, like all the things that are bothering you. And frankly, though, it really doesn't, you know, resolve, get me out of here, I want to run without fear, if this isn't what I fantasize, then I'm still stuck here. The narrator never gets to the happy place, right?
Yeah.
And yet it's hopeful. For some reason, it's the melody and the way it's sung.
And I think it's all major chords. It's all major chords?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a slice of life in the sense of the description of your day, and it's very honest. Like, I think people would really
That's
relate to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, hitting the alarm and going, not yet, no.
I got to make one suggestion in terms of arrangement. The end of the second verse, the end of the third verse, to try and catch the bus that always drives right by, you stop strumming the guitar on the to try and catch the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I would strum through that and stop it on the punchline. Stop it on the and always
right
drives
by.
Right by. And as well, that'll give you a bit of a breath before you go into the chorus.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. I should try
and
that
I would do the same thing on the sun is out.
I'm not sure if the recording. I have to listen to it again, but I'm not sure if I do that in the recording. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
But I think kind of sometimes when I perform it, it depends on the feeling, but sometimes I stop there and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But
it's true,
that's good to point it out.
Because you would be like standing there watching the bus kind of go past you.
Exactly, right?
Because you just know the driver's looking at you.
I got to keep on schedule.
You could put a little bus sound effect
behind. I think the other thing with a detail like that is that, you know, you say sometimes I do it this way, sometimes I do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're purposeful about it and you know that there's a reason for doing it a certain way,
for sure.
Then you'll always do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, you make a very good point. I will try that.
So what is the process for when you're writing these songs? Do you have to kind of write down some kind of concepts or ideas first? Or you just put everything
in your
head?
How do I remember the songs?
Yeah.
Well, not remember, but when you're actually writing, like when you're writing for someone,
right.
And you talk to them and you get these, you know, impressions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like kind of note them down with like bullet points and then kind of?
I do for sure. Honestly, I don't write a lot as I'm with the client. If that's your question, when I'm with them,
yeah.
Again, I think it's just inspiration from how they're relaying that message to me. And then it just comes to me at the time. As soon as I get home, I already have that feeling in, and I just kind of create with that. Sometimes I'll write things on the side, you know, but it's not really words. It's more about how they looked when they said that, or did they get emotional when they said this part? Because that's the part I focus on, right? It's like, oh, they got really emotional with that. Like, that's... You know, text of the heartstrings.
They say whatever 80% of communication is nonverbal.
Right.
Yeah.
And I work with that. That's what I work with the most, actually. That's a good point. Is really nonverbal.
Mm. Which is a challenge in radio.
Yes, it certainly is.
Because it's 100% verbal.
Can you see the sarcasm on my face?
I wanted to just interject here. I was watching a an interview with Ed Sheeran. He mm-hmm. took a break from singing and performing, and this was him coming back. I don't know when he did this, but it was really interesting how he was talking. And this is for all singer-songwriters, because he can stand up at the Grammys with a guitar. There was one year he was on, they had these big show numbers on the big stage, and they were all like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he caught up on one of these satellite stages with his guitar, and he sang, totally grabbed everybody, right, just with that mm-hmm. sound. What he said was, he was asked, what's the difference between playing for 200 people and then playing Wembley Stadium? Because he, mm-hmm. you know, his solo act who went into Wembley with a bit of a band, I guess. But he said, you get them singing along at the top of the show, and it doesn't matter if it's 200 or 20,000. If you get them involved in your song and you ask them to even just sing a chorus or two, mm-hmm. you've got them.
You got them.
And mm-hmm. that's I try to. I have a couple sing-along songs that I put into my performances. Mm-hmm. So people feel they really want to be connected to the singer, and they right. want to be connected to the song, too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody likes that. So.
And that's a good tip for even if you're relatively unknown. And you're just starting out, is pop a cover in as song number two in your set.
Yeah.
And then that's one way to kind of grab the audience, get them on your side, because they know that song. If you pick something
really
popular.
Yeah, if they feel good.
And it doesn't have to necessarily just be like a folky type thing. If you're in a rock band, you can get someone to, you know, have a song where everyone goes, yeah, 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 or something.
Yeah, that's true.
And get the audience to kind of get into it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be like a folky thing where people are singing along. They can just mm-hmm. be, you know, but again, it's just involving them right from the top. That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
That's mm-hmm. a good tip.
Well, a lot of modern songs, it's ooh-wee, ooh-wee.
All the hooks are, nonverbal.
Nonverbal hooks.
So do you think that's going to be the gated reverb of the 21st century?
Yeah, possibly.
You
know? Yeah.
Because you listen back in the 80s, everything like it, there was a gated reverb.
What does that mean, gated reverb?
It's a certain kind of reverb that cuts off.
Like a reverb normally just fades out naturally.
This would sort of end quickly. Think about Phil Collins.
Phil Collins with his drums, he kind of...
Oh.
Do you remember like in the Collins, do-doom, 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 has a very particular sound.
Yeah.
Basically, the 80s was like...
Everyone was doing
that.
Okay.
In fact, if you listen to the Rolling Stones, the only way you can tell they were doing stuff in the 80s is the kind of reverb that's on the snare.
Because they
actually did the gated snare thing.
And
it doesn't age well.
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
That was just an aside, because I thought, well, that's really interesting, because the interviewer was saying, how do you go and sing to Wembley Stadium? These are huge stadiums. And he was used to playing in pubs and then little theaters and stuff, right? And then he started hanging with Taylor Swift and things got better.
Yeah. So, Ashley, where can people find more of your stuff? Like, do you have a number of albums out, or...?
I don't have any albums out. I do have two singles on iTunes, which one of them is The Other Side, and the other one is Will You Love Me? And, yeah, they're both on iTunes. Mm-hmm. I have samples of my song on my website that I had said before. Yeah. And the
recorded version of Other Side is really great. I mean, the production quality is quite high.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah, it was super fun to do that song.
Do you have, like, a SoundCloud page and all that?
I do. I have a couple of songs on there that I'm... that I just kind of recorded in the studio that you can find on there. I have a Facebook page, Ashley Braga Music, as well.
On YouTube?
I do have a video on YouTube. Will You Love Me is one of the videos I have on there. That was really super fun to do. Check it out if you'd like. And I think that's pretty much all the social media.
Yeah. And from this show, you'll have two... your performances will be on our YouTube channel
Great.
As well.
Hey.
So...
All part of the show. And we're running out of time, Ashley.
Yes.
So we have to wrap things up. You've been listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And thank you to our guest, Ashley Braga.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Great stuff.
All the way from Mississauga. That's not easy when you're driving. Not in Toronto these days, right? Yeah. And please send us your impressions via Twitter, if you like, at Song Talk Radio. Our email address is feedback@songtalk.ca. We're on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, and you can stop by the site itself, songtalk.ca. And if you like, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/ iTunes. And if you want to leave a review on iTunes, we would love that. Just go in there and say you like it, and that gets us liked. And I don't know, it seems to do good things.
Yes,
it?
Just a few words of how wonderful, how awesome
wonderful we are, and especially Ashley. And you can also sign up for our free newsletter, Ashley. If you just go to songtalk.ca, put in your name and your email there, and you'll get a newsletter packed with great ideas about songwriting and articles and things like that.
Great.
If you're in the Toronto area, again, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable Meetup. That's Wednesday, February 15th from 7 to 10 at the Transact Club. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the juicy details. Mm-hmm. We would like to thank CJRU 1280 AM for over 3 years of access to their airwaves.
Thank you.
Well, they weren't always airwaves. They were streaming for a couple of years.
Stream waves.
Since April, they've been waves. Thanks, Vanessa, for handling the social media
channels.
Thank
you, Vanessa.
Yay, Vanessa. And thank you, Neil, for doing your magic on the mixing board tonight. And thank you, of course, the home listeners and podcast listeners, all the listeners, wherever in the world you are. We have a few in England. One in Kuwait, I think. Mm-hmm. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at...
Visit me at neilmodi.com.
Is the visit me in there?
No.
Okay, well, don't say that.
That's not my Twitter. That's my
website. That's confusing. That's confusing.
Well, what's your Twitter?
Mondo Art.
All right.
Mondo Art, okay.
Answer the question.
Just answer the question. Don't come up with those alternative facts.
Twitter's not going to last, you guys.
Oh, and Phil?
At the Phil Emery.
And Vanessa?
At Sunny _ Vanessa.
Vanessa, is there two S's? There's two S's. Ashley Braga?
Ashley _Braga_, and it's ashleybraga.com if you want to check out my website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And please don't follow me. It makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Be sure to stop by our informative and entertaining website. I'm just going to work that joke until somebody laughs. Well, they did. You know, our website's very entertaining. Songtalk.ca. Did I mention that, Ashley, already? Songtalk.ca.
Yeah.
And you can browse past shows, find out how you could be a guest on our show. We're booking for June right now. In fact, we've got a wait list. We're going to be mulling over that in the next month or so, and then we'll be calling people.
I think we will. Yes.
Yes, we will. And I think we'll wrap up there for tonight. You can listen to some
Sounds
music
good.
Now.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye now. Keep on writing.
Bye.